We're speaking to you on the subject of God's providence. If my numbers are right, this is number 15. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. But I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening. And it's just a blessing to know that the God of glory is still on the throne. The songs tonight pointed to that very reality. And God's people need to wake up one morning to say, hey, God is in control. He's piloting this ship. He's not my co-pilot. He is the pilot. Amen. He's in complete charge, not partially, but in complete charge. A verse that I have referred to over and over and over and over and preached a series on here, not intentionally, but for about 8 weeks on Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28. I'm just going to use this tonight to kind of start and close what I want to say to you. And as you look at the verse tonight, just let it speak to you. Let it say to you what God meant for it to say to you and to me. And if you'll notice, there is a conjunction that starts this thing off. So he's already been dealing with some circumstances that we ought to be aware of. And then he says, and we know that all things work together for good. For who? To them that love God. Those that are called according to His purpose. When God Almighty brings you into the household, there's one thing you can put on the calendar. From that point on, everything will finally work out for your benefit and for God's glory. Did you hear that? I know, hey, we have some rough times sometimes, but every bit of that works out for our benefit and for God's glory. Sometimes hard to see, but still a fact. Providence is a mixture of good and bad, black and white. In God's providence, everything doesn't always go smoothly for us. As a matter of fact, if it went smoothly for us all the time, we wouldn't appreciate God. When things get rough for us, what do? We begin to pray. We begin to pray. So let's think about it the other way. If God hadn't heard from you in a long time, guess what's going to happen? Oh, yeah. He's going to upset your little apple cart. And remind you that it's time for you to realize that He is still God. And He has many ways of doing that. Sometimes it is dreaded ways. Sometimes it's just a little nudge on the shoulder. Sometimes just a word from the preacher or a word from a friend. But God will get our attention because He's God. And because you belong to Him, and He wants you to know that He's God on a continual basis. Don't forget that, because the moment you forget it, God's going to nudge you a little bit. So providence, God's providence, God not only creating, but God caring for everything that He has created. It's not just created and left to go on its own, but it is created and cared for from the very moment it is created. That is all of creation externally and all of creation internally. That pertains to you and me as well as the sun and the stars and the moon and so on. So when God created mankind, by the way, the greatest of man of God's creation is man. And this thought just came. Watch this. The greatest thing God has ever done is redeem man. Now, when you look at God's creation, look at all that's out there, and we can't see it all. Hubble telescope can't see it all. This new telescope that's out there roaming around can't see it all. All of that is God's creation. And we stand back in awe and wonder, how can this be? And yet, that is not as great as God redeeming mankind. The greatest act of a holy God is that He saves His people. Redeems us from the slave market of sin. God's providence along the way. I said to you that the providence of God is both good and bad. Look at a few instances with me tonight, if you will. In Exodus chapter 14, the scripture tells us of a cloud, a pillar of cloud. And that pillar of cloud now does a specific task at the Red Sea. Here at the Red Sea, God's army is sandwiched between the sea and Pharaoh's army. And the text says that the angel of the Lord went from before Israel and went back and stood between Israel and Egypt, the Egyptian army, and the pillar became darkness to them and light to the children of Israel. Now think about that for a moment. In times when it looks as though there is no hope for us, that's where Israel is in this particular text. There's no hope for them but God. There's the sea. Behind them is Pharaoh's army. Now God has brought them out of Egypt. He's heading them toward the promised land. And they have all these ideas in their minds as we would have. And they come to the sea. And when they face the sea, there's no boats there. There's nothing to carry them over. So now they're standing there, looking at the sea, hearing the swords and the spears and the chariots and the horses of the army behind them. And God's providence is mightily at work at this very moment. Looks bad for them, doesn't it? The promise is, and the promise was, as they came out of Egypt, no doubt they came out rejoicing, shouting along the way, but now the shouting turns to pouting. Amen. Now there is a barrier before them and the promised land. And they can't turn around and go back because the army's back there. And the army has every intention of destroying them. But the providence of God is at work. Amen. And the angel leaves the forward watch to go to the rear watch and put them in darkness while the children of Israel are in the light. Amen. There are times in your life, amen, when you come to the Red Sea. Amen. And I guarantee you, if you'll put your thought process together for a moment and begin to think, there are times in your life when you've stood there. Amen. You've looked at that impassable situation. You know you can't go back. And here you are facing something that you've never faced before. And God's providence is at work. Now what's God going to do? He's going to live up to His promise. Look back at the verse we just read again in Romans 8:28. What's His promise? That all things will work together for good. Now, how can this work for good? How in the world can this work for good? Looks to me like every one of them are going to die one way or the other. They're going to go on. but God. In His power and in His providence is well at work. And God causes the sea to open. But they didn't have a thing to do with that. They didn't build a bridge. Remember that old ungodly song, "I'm building a bridge"? There's nothing spiritual about that, nothing truthful about that. Never ought to be sung in a church anywhere. Say amen right there. But it was sung in churches all across this country at one time, and probably still is in some places. You're not building a bridge. You're in a situation where you can't build anything. You're scared half to death through your life. You don't know what's going to happen. But God opened up the waters and they went over on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, guess what the angel did? Angel kind of stepped out of the way and let Pharaoh's army come into the sea. Boy, they think, look here, we're about to catch up with them now. Oh, yeah. And when they all got into that sea, God Almighty turned the water loose. And chariots don't float. Men in armor don't float. And Pharaoh's army perished right there in the Red Sea. And God's little young'uns, now watch this. A few moments ago, well, just say it right, yesterday, they were on the other side wondering what's going to happen, pouting, saying, what in the world have you done, brought us out here so we can die at the sea? Now they're on the other side, and instead of pouting, they're shouting. Look what God's done. God has delivered us, and God has destroyed Pharaoh's army in the sea. They're rejoicing and singing. Isn't that just like every one of us? Now, thank God they did do the right thing. They did thank God for it. They did look upward and recognize that God had brought deliverance. But had they thought a little bit, let me say something here. So many times when providence slaps us in the face, we don't do a whole lot of thinking. We really don't do a whole lot of thinking. We really don't think about the promise that God made. Now, had they thought of the promise that God had made, that He was going to take them into the promised land, then they wouldn't have been so upset about it. But they're there in a situation. Let's just be honest with this. When God puts you in a situation that you can't handle, you begin to wonder. And you begin to complain. And if you're not careful, the next step is you begin to blame God for putting you in that circumstance. When you question God, you're blaming God. Let me say that one more time. When you question God, you're blaming God. So in a time of that circumstance where we find ourselves incapable of doing anything to help ourselves, we forget God's promise. Amen. Is Romans 8:28 still in the book? Yes. Does it apply to me and to you? Yes. In reality, are we to believe it in every circumstance? Or are there just certain places where to believe it? Like when everything's going fine and no problems around us, is that when we're supposed to believe it? No. The providence of God is both good and evil. Job mentioned that, didn't he? Shall a man receive good of God and not evil? Are we to receive only the blessings of God and never receive anything that, even though it doesn't appear to be at that moment, is a blessing as well? Amen. Do you realize that in God's judgment and in God's correcting of us, it is a blessing? When chastening comes, if it doesn't teach us anything else, it ought to show us that we belong to God. We're His. So the children of Israel rejoice now because God has delivered them. Again. And he'll do it again and again and again and again and again. And he's still yet to do it some more. And it may not be long until that last deliverance comes for the children of Israel. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter number 27, verses 41 and following. The cross of Christ looks like a dismal scene, doesn't it? Can you in your mind do something for me just a moment? Can you in your mind go to a hill? It's called the Hill of the Skull because it looks like a skull. Externally. If you've ever been there, you can see the outline of the skull on the hillside. Go there with me for just a moment. Here are disciples. These disciples have heard him preach. They've seen the miracles. They've ate what he's created on the scene. They've heard him speak in life. Comes to dead bodies. They saw him touch and life becomes a reality. Are you on this wagon with me now? Stay with me. I want you with me when I'm doing this. And now they come to a place where this man, whom they have known as the Messiah, and now the heathen have taken him. They mauled him. Isaiah said, so much so that he was unrecognizable as a man. I don't know anyone who saw the film, The Passion of Christ, that didn't weep when they saw the beating. But may I say this to you, that did not depict really what happened. They beat him to where he was so unrecognizable, his own mother wouldn't have known him had she not been there. The disciples, their hearts, their hopes, their intents are now gone. Mother, who heard the angel say, you're going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. But here he is, her son, hanging on a cross. I don't know about you, but providence looks bad right now. Providence is dark at this moment. And the disciples begin to wander away. And finally, he looks down at his mother and John is still there. And he said, son, behold thy mother, mother, behold thy son. And he bows his head after crying to the Father. He bows his head and dies. Is providence looking bad?
Amen.
Is the salvation of the soul looking bad?
Amen.
Does it look as though there is no hope now? Where is our hope? Soon the soldiers come to break the bones to speed up the dying process, but Christ is already dead. They come and take him to a tomb. A stone is rolled over the grave. We've experienced some things there, haven't we, sweetheart?
Amen.
My soul. The days pass. And inside that tomb lays the hope of those disciples. Everyone that has believed him, inside that grave lies the hope, dead as far as they're concerned. But providence is at work. Power is at work. And on the third day, God said to the Herculean angel, go down and roll that stone out of the way. Let the world see that he's no longer in there. He's already out and gone. Say amen right there. I see everything looked bleak until right now. But as the sun rises, the S-U-N, the S-O-N is already risen. And hope now is back alive. When he begins to appear to the believers and the disciples, hope is revived. Two walking to Emmaus, and he joins them as they walk. And they confess the whole story. We thought that this man was the one. But see, as far as they know, in their journey, he's still dead. Amen. And he's walking down the road with them. Hey, do you believe in the providence of God? Yes. Huh? Yes. For the moment, their eyes are blinded. They really can't see what's going on. But he knows. And then he reveals himself to them later on. And they head back to Jerusalem and start talking to themselves, and shouldn't we have known? Amen. Shouldn't we have known? And they went back to declare, he's alive. He's alive. Hey, darkness turns to light. Hope now is revived. And Christ is muchly alive. Why is it so? Because there's a mixture of light and darkness in this thing. Now let's come to where we are. We've seen one of the most powerful illustrations of the mixture that's anywhere to be found anywhere in history. But you've got some circumstances. I have some circumstances. Every one of us. Amen. That we can either recall or we're going through right now. There's somebody in this building right now going through a Red Sea experience. Amen. But can I promise you that all things work together for good? Can I just repeat the promise of the God of glory that all of these things that look so bad right now really are for your benefit and for God's glory? Our hurts, our pains, our heartaches, our disappointments, our financial reversals, death, divorce, disease, amen. Disaster, yes, yes. And I could go on. Amen. All of this can work for the glory of God and for the benefit of His children. Mm-hmm. Now listen, some of these things we're never going to realize till we get to the other side. But isn't it good that along the way, God lets us see some of those things now and realize how foolish we were to doubt and how foolish we were to worry about the army behind us and the sea in front of us when we knew God was in control? Oh, I've been there. You see, I know exactly how it is. To wonder why, and then for God to open the door and let you see the light, yes. And make you ashamed of yourself, oh, yeah. Huh? Yes. Because you weren't believing God all the way through. Yeah. All things work together for good. A preacher friend of ours, Brother Kenny, just lost his son. Fella shot him twice in the middle of the street. He laid there in the street and died. Can you imagine how that hurts the heart, amen, of his parents? We had a grandson, decent young man, Benny's boy, Bryson's dad, 33 years old, a picture of health. Had his life in front of him. But all of a sudden, That life was taken with a heart attack. When you're going through those times, don't tell me it's not tough. Amen. To say, amen. We know that all things work together for good. And don't tell me that it's not tough for that boy from time to time to realize his dad is not here anymore. Are you here with me? You see, the darkness is there in the midst of the storm. The door is going to open. The stone's going to roll away. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. And someday we'll know why. May never know down here. Thank God for the times that we do know down here. But we may never know down here. But on the other shore, it'll all be plain and sure as to why the providence of God worked in that direction. The providence of God, from time to time, He takes you in His arms and loves you. At other times, He takes you to the woodshed. And though He still loves you, His arms are not about you. Huh? My dad, our dad, three of us here tonight, was a great disciplinarian. By that I mean he beats the devil out of us. That's just kind words to say what I really meant. And there were times I hated to see my daddy coming home because I knew my mama was a tattletale. Oh, yeah. You thought she was this beautiful, kind. Yeah. But let me tell you, she's a tattletale. And you think, boy, she's forgot, and you sit down to eat, and you're just, how can you eat in a shape like that? I mean, your stomach's all tied up, and you know that hell's about to pop if she opens her mouth. Amen. And you eat what little bit you can. And every once in a while, Dad will look at you and say, are you all right? Why you not eating? You sick? One say, yeah, but not as bad as I'm going to be. Hey, I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you how it was. And before we get up from the table, here it go. And I mean, the sound rings in my ear as I say that. Warn Larry. I mean, it was just that sound. Warn? That's my daddy's name. You understand? And then right after that, Larry. Well, what that meant was Larry was the one. And then she'd begin to tell a story. Right or wrong, she's telling a story. And when the story was ended, more than likely Dad'd say, son, go get some switches. Now, Daddy didn't say go get a switch. There was no such thing as a switch at our house. You was lucky if he had mercy and used the belt. Huh? But when he said, go get some switches, he meant go get some switches. And you better not come back with one. And you better not come back with a ragweed. Now listen to me. If the laws were then as they are today, my daddy would have never seen the outside walls of a prison. Often, he'd take those switches and I'd see him twist them. And if they ever twitch, I'm having a heart attack. And then it's bend over that potato bin. Is that right, boys?
That's right, boys.
Bend over that potato bin. And I learned a secret. Grab one of those potatoes and put it in your mouth so you won't scream. And he'd begin, buddy, the almost execution of his son. And when he finished the job, he'd go back upstairs. And I'd spit out the potato and scream anyhow. Then when I finally got strength enough, to walk back up the stairs. My daddy'd be sitting in the chair and he'd say, "Hey, the other side of the cloud just started showing." Daddy's arms would be open and he'd take me in his lap, hug me up real tight, and he'd say, "Son, I love you." Amen. Sometimes it was worth a whipping just to hear that. Amen. Just to feel Daddy's hug. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you something. Yes. Amen. As God's little youngins, there are times that He takes us to the woodshed. Amen. And we think, boy, this is it. I'll never survive this. But the light comes on. God brings you through the thing. And He draws you up real close to Him and says, "I love you." You see, the mixture of the good and the bad of God's providence, the mixture of the darkness and the light of God's providence, the mixture of wrath and love. You see, you're not going to have one without the other. You did hear that. Amen. Most of us want to stay in His lap. Amen. Feeling His touch and hearing His voice all the time, don't we? Huh? But in order to grow into what God would have us to be, we have to spend some time in the woodshed too. Amen. See, He's told us that if we're without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are we bastards and not sons. That means we're hypocrites. We really don't know the God of glory. We don't have the right Father. Amen. We're not His child. Amen. If God doesn't correct us, we're not His child. Amen. That's all there is to it. Let's stand together for